The rich countries say bye-bye stimulus, hello budget cuts.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. The summit of the world's 20 economic powers is wrapped up in Toronto. Over the weekend, the G20 was dominated by a debate over how quickly to shift from economic stimulus to deficit reduction. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with a recap. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So what agreement did the meetings produce?
Well, the G20 countries agreed to cut their budget deficits in half by 2013, and that includes the United States. But there's a compromise here, plenty of wiggle room, because the G20 have agreed to pay attention to growth. So a country that feels it will be jeopardizing its recovery by meeting that target could be let off the hook.
And here in the States, Stephen, Congress has made progress, or did on Friday anyway, on financial reform legislation. Was there any movement on the G20 on bank regulations?
Yes, they've agreed to raise significantly the amount and quality of capital that banks need to hold. But there are no numbers yet, and there's a compromise here too. As Dr. Dominic Swords of the Henley Business School points out, G20 countries won't be forced to adopt new regulations in a short time frame.
There's signalling of a lot of flexibility. Different countries with different circumstances, different needs, may be given up to 5 or 6 years fully to implement the new arrangements.
More details of those new arrangements are likely to emerge at the G20 summit in Korea in November.
All right, Stephen, what's the final grade then for this G20? What are people saying?
Well, 5 out of 10, straight down the middle. I mean, supporters of this kind of summitry always say it's good for the leaders to talk, to get together. Jaw, jaw, as Churchill said, is better than war, war. While critics will say it doesn't really make a lot of sense to spend $1 billion talking about the need for austerity.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
The Capitol today will be paying tribute to the late Senator Robert Byrd. He passed away just a few hours ago after taking ill over the weekend. And now financial reform legislation could be affected. Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, who voted for the original Senate bill, now says he's wavering on a compromise bill passed last week. Without Senator Byrd's yes vote, and if Brown votes no, the bill comes up short of the 60 needed to bypass debate and move toward final passage. No matter, says Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan, the financial regulations being proposed won't do much to avoid another financial crisis anyway. He's with us now to talk about it. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
We saw, Alan, after the corporate accounting scandals in the last 10 years, that Congress passed Sarbanes-Oxley, right? It was supposed to clean up financial reporting at public companies. I mean, that was big reform. Did it work?
Well, it sounded like big reform, and it worked to a very small extent. And as I'm sure some of us know, after today, it may not exist because the Supreme Court may be throwing it out very soon. But it didn't really solve the problem. There were all of these penalties where if a company had to restate its earnings, there were supposed to be dire consequences, and nothing really happened. The best part of Sarbanes-Oxley was if you were an accountant or a consultant, you made a lot of money.
So, you don't think Sarbanes-Oxley did much. Do you think these proposed financial regulations will stand the test of time?
No, I don't think they will, except for possibly the consumer agency. I think it'll be seen as tinkering around the edges. And when the next crisis appears, which I predict will be within the next 10 years, we'll discover that, as usual, we adopted laws that didn't really solve the last problem and are not solving the new one.
Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan with us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Financial reform, the G20 wrap-up, all weighing in on stocks overseas. European markets are up at the moment, an average of about 1%. Investors happy that there is at least some semblance of deficit cutting going on in the world. Asian markets were mixed today. Japan's Nikkei lost 0.5%, but Hong Kong shares ended the day higher. Wall Street Friday, the S&P and NASDAQ were up slightly. The Dow closed mostly flat, down 8 points, small fraction of a percent, at 10,143. And for the week, the major indices gave back about 3%.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Farm workers are tired of hearing that illegal immigrants are stealing jobs from Americans. Now, one group is turning the tables. The Take Our Jobs campaign is offering to put Americans to work in the agriculture industry. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Need a job? The United Farm Workers is ready to help.
We will assist them in trying to find a job within their area.
That's Union President Arturo Rodriguez. He says most agriculture jobs are outside, where temperatures are often above 90 degrees.
Pay-wise, in most cases, farm workers make minimum wage.
He hopes to demonstrate that these are undesirable jobs and that the country needs immigrant labor.
Without them, we would have a failed agricultural economy.
In the first day of operations, Rodriguez says lots of American citizens did sign up to take their farm jobs.
We've gotten 1,400 applicants.
Does that mean the publicity stunt backfired? Rodriguez says no.
If we can help the unemployment situation, great.
Ultimately, the United Farm Workers want Congress to enact a bill known as Ag Jobs. It would give undocumented immigrants currently in the labor force a path to legalization, provided they continue to work on farms. The legislation is currently stalled in the Senate. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, even decades after her death, Marilyn Monroe is still getting lots of money for her things. But it's not jewelry or clothing or an autographed picture that's collecting cash this time around. It's a set of chest x-rays from a 1954 hospital visit. The Las Vegas auction house had thought those pictures would fetch, a couple or $3,000. The final bid yesterday, $45,000, which seems to be the going rate for x-rays these days. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Check us out online. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. Plus, follow me on Twitter at ChiatakisMMR. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.